I imagine that you could feel the sun rising in your soul as you listen to that this morning. What a glorious morning. This is Thursday, and we have a full menu for you today. And truly, this is a very special time in the life of SI. We're over the hump, and we're going Thursday, and then Friday, and then Saturday. I won't be with you Saturday. Tomorrow is my last time with you. I've got two weddings on Saturday and Sunday, so I'll be gone. But the residual effect and the resonance of your presence in my life is very, very important. It's come to my attention that the corn has kind of gotten a little out of its purpose, but I want to pull it back a little bit. And I want for you to have opportunity, and I put the buckets back out there. And some of you have used it as a spiritual practice. Please realize that indigenous peoples, and I'm sure that the Shawnee and the Native Hawaiians and all those others, they have a special understanding of what the earth is all about. And one of their concepts is, how can what is mortal own what is immortal? How can what is mortal own what is immortal? Here we are, these feeble creatures. And, you know, people are worried about the end of the world. Well, we've got 4.5 billion years to go, all right? And we need to take care of this place. So if you use this as a spiritual discipline, then fine. But please don't use it as missiles for one another. It gets to be a hazard on the steps for those who need to have firm footing. Our opening words this morning, I had one more thing I needed to share. We have the Reverend Michelle Buchheit, newly minted minister, and then we have Patricia, who is a Ganabi minister, and some of the others. I just have a word from my Hawaiian friends, and Kapu is a pastor, but a kahuna is somebody who really grabs on to the issues of life. Listen, the job of the kahuna is not to clear up the mystery, but to make the mystery clear. Not to clear up the mystery, but to make the mystery clear. That's what I offer for you. These opening words will always be sacred for me after last night's Vespers. When that courageous young lad, Sean, read these words, it made me cry. Courageous young man. Listen to the words. Listen to the echo of Sean's voice through the night to this morning. We belong to the earth. This we know. The earth does not belong to us. We belong to the earth. This we know, all things are connected like the blood which unites one family. All things are connected. Whatever befalls the earth befalls the sons and daughters of the earth. We did not weave the web of life. We are merely a strand in it. Whatever we do to the web, we do to ourselves.
May the beauty before me open my eyes to see. May the beauty above and below me set my soul free. May the beauty inside me wake me up to feel the beauty between you and me is real. And may I be complete within my open circle. May I be willing to see some hope in a broken world. May I be like this tree, standing in the center of my circle. I am solid on the ground, and I know I'm not alone. May the beauty before me open my eyes to see. May the beauty above and below me set my soul free. May the beauty inside me wake me up to feel the beauty between you and me is real. And may I be complete within my open circle. May I be willing to see some hope in a broken world. May I be like this tree, standing in the center of my circle. I am solid on the ground, and I know I'm not alone. I'm not. May our chalice shine all through our lives. May our chalice shine all through our lives. May our hearts be open, and may our minds be still. May our truth be spoken, and may our lives fulfill this promise. This is promise of peace. This is promise of peace. This is promise of peace. This promise of peace.
Please remain standing for our opening song this morning, for our opening hymn, which will be Love Will Guide Us.
This morning I have a reading from the Tales of the Night Rainbow, and it's called A Bowl of Perfect Light. And this is the bowl that I've chosen this morning, and hopefully it will be a model for us, especially in our naming ceremonies. Remember that this is spoken through the mouth and heart of a 115-year-old Hawaiian woman. And she had lived through the time when the kingdom was taken away from the Hawaiians, all the way up until 1931. And she remembers King Kamehameha, Queen Lililokalani, and then also the Depression, and then just before World War II. On Molokai, the gods were Ku and Hina. The temples, or the heiaus, had an upright stone for Ku, the male god, and a prostrate flat stone for Hina, the female god, who was exemplified by the moon. The temples of our family had a light which burned at all times, and someone was always there to tend it. We taught by stories and parables. One of the earliest and most important ones to us was, each child has at birth a bowl of perfect light. If he tends his light, it will grow in strength and he can do all things. Swim with the shark, fly with the birds, know and understand all things. If, however, he becomes envious or jealous, he drops a stone into his bowl of light, and some of the light goes out. Light and the stone cannot hold the same space. If he continues to put stones into the bowl, that bowl of light, the light will go out, and he himself will become a stone. A stone does not grow, nor does it move. Now, if at any time he tires of being a stone, all he needs to do is to turn that bowl upside down, and the stones will fall out, and the light will grow once more. For me, that is a beautiful story, and I want to share more about it. Sophia Lyon Foss, truly one of the saints of the Unitarian Universalist tradition, she wrote, "Yet each night a child is born is a holy night. Fathers and mothers sitting beside the children's cribs feel glory in the sight of a new life beginning. They ask, where and how will this new life end, or will it ever end? Each night a child is born is a holy night, a time for singing, a time for wondering, a time for worshiping. Parents from time immemorial have watched their children sleep and then dreamed themselves of what their children will someday become. Hawaiian families, and they call them ohanas, have the story of the bowl of light. Every child born is a bowl of light, From ancient times until now, they believed in freedom of choice for each child and everyone as they grow. And sometimes we make good choices and our light shines brighter. Other times we make mistakes or we get caught up in situations that bring us down or undermine our well-being, and we drop stones into our bowl. And sometimes we screw up so badly that our bowl of light gets filled to the brim with stones, and the person themselves become a stone. A stone is stuck and cannot move. But there is an out. When you are tired of being a stone, you can tip your bowl upside down and you can dump out your stones, and your light will shine as brightly as ever. You know, there's so many religious models that start out with a negative, saying that children are conceived in sin and never escape from it. Now, Unitarian Universalists don't talk very much about sin. I remember learning in seminary that sin is not necessary, but it is inevitable. That beautiful infant child will someday make a wrong decision to do a harmful act, and they will know it, and they will come to learn to want to do better. In the ancient Hawaiian tradition, the children can make a decision to dump out these stones that symbolize bad choices and start again with a clean slate and again have that wonderful, perfect bowl of light. Unitarianism was born in America and also in Transylvania. And it came about as an opposition to the Calvinist idea of original sin and the depravity of human beings. I grew up digesting scripture and the Christian tradition and some of the things that I was taught to memorize were very painful. Ye are of your father, the devil. Men love darkness, for their deeds are evil. Children are born in sin. It wasn't until I went off to college and I'd been saved three times that I said, God, I want my soul back. I want my soul back. When those Calvinist missionaries came, the old Hawaiians rebelled. They refused to agree to the darkness, and they maintained the good of each child. Now, a contemporary American theologian, Matthew Fox, he also defied original sin and was castigated by his denomination. And he encouraged people to say, original blessing for each child. Now, tomorrow I'm going to give you a wider picture of our brothers and sisters who are Unitarians in Transylvania. But I want you to listen to what they say. And I've taken this from the information book from the First Unitarian Church of Kolosvar, Transylvania. We totally disagree with the fact that we are sinners from the moment of our birth. We rather believe that in the moment of birth, all human beings have the possibility of improving themselves, and through this, making the world a better place. It goes on and says, we believe in the free will of people, that we are responsible for our decisions. We have to face our own bad resolutions and deeds. We must be aware of the fact that we need forgiveness so that our life can take the right path. I originally went to Hawaii to find out why, in such a wide-ranging, multicultural land, that there was only one Unitarian Universalist congregation, and that was in Honolulu. When I pushed into the depths of the indigenous Hawaiian religion, I found that they were already profoundly involved in our Unitarian Universalist principles without ever even hearing them. And I know that some of you might say, well, you're a Unitarian Universalist minister. Of course you have that lens. No, in a very objective way. In talking with Veronica and Colleen, who are here from the Honolulu UU congregation, their new minister is engaging the Hawaiian people and making connection to their religious past and also their current experiences. And that one Hawaiian congregation is poised for a new ministry. I love the concept of the light in the bowl, symbol for each child born. After having such a gloriously intense time in Hawaii, we journeyed on to Transylvania. In 1 week, we went 21,000 miles. That's a lot of peanuts and crackers on a plane. We journeyed to Transylvania, which is the holy land of Unitarians. That's where King John Sigismund proclaimed freedom and tolerance for all religions. And that's where Reverend Francis David preached, we don't have to think alike to love alike. We stood with other American UUs in the castle of Deva, where Francis David died after being condemned for theological innovation in 1579. It was right there that they asked me to do a devotional time. And I told the story, and I had them repeat after me, we do not have to think alike to love alike. And then we sang Spirit of Life. Truly, we have an incredible history. The symbol of the Transylvanian Unitarians is a dove on a mountaintop. And in the little town that I cannot pronounce the name of, but it does mean the Christmas village, there was a wood carver. And that wood carver, I asked him to make the symbol for the Transylvanian Unitarian Church. And you'll see there is a dove, and it's high upon the mountains, perhaps the Carpathian Mountains that surround Transylvania. And then here is a snake, and the snake is in a circle, and the snake is swallowing its tail, and this is a symbol of eternal life, the constant circle of life. And above here is a crown. And truly, this crown is to symbolize that we are to bring the kingdom of heaven here down to this earth. But most poignant for me is down at the bottom. And you've said this many times for flower communion and other times. Edge Oz Easton. And many times we translate it as God is one. But Ishtan is the word for God, and it comes last. I don't know Hungarian very well. Matter of fact, it's never spoken, pronounced as it is written, let me tell you. But the way I look at it is, it really means oneness is God. Oneness is God. Oneness with nature. Oneness with Hawaii. Oneness with Transylvania. Oneness with the universe. They don't call us Unitarians for nothing. Mahalo. We have some aunties and uncles that are going to share a special gift with us today.
Good morning. Good morning. Here you go, Laura.
Okay. But then just Heather's up there. Okay.
Mahalo. A wise new friend told us this morning that a peacock that doesn't show its feathers is merely another turkey. And let me tell you, in the theater, being a turkey ain't a good thing. So in honor of this, I'd like to introduce my partner in ESOP, Deb Lemire.
Good morning. And this is my partner in ESOP, Laura Conkle, a.k.a.
The Lion Roar.
And the Mouse. Our workshop this week explores the seven principles through the wisdom of ESOP. And this morning, three of our workshopees, Mike, James, and Krista, will illustrate the third principle for us, which is the acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations, through the story of the ants and the chrysalis. And as you may have read in the kaleidoscope, these two ants are definitely siblings. Show them why. So, we'll get out of their way, ants and chrysalis.
Welcome to the ESOP zone.
On a bright and beautiful summer day, two ants, siblings, were foraging through the field for a meal. As one turned over a leaf, they came across a chrysalis that was very near its time to change. The chrysalis moved its tail, as that was all it could move.
Hello there, and what fine creature might you be?
Fine creature? Look at it, it's pitiful.
Sibling, you should be more charitable. What if it needs our help?
Oh. Do you need something? What was that? Something over here. This leaf, perhaps? No, don't get up.
Little brother, this being has done nothing to harm you. Instead of poking fun, you should be more encouraging.
Oh, how sad. You can't move. Look, I can move wherever I wish. If I wanted to, I could climb the highest tree or scamper along the rocks on the shoreline. But you can only wiggle your little tail.
Do not listen to my little brother. James is nothing but a fool, silly and selfish. You are quite fine just the way you are, and I am sure that with a little perseverance, you will learn to do much more than just wiggle your tail.
The chrysalis heard all of this, of course, but was unable to make a reply. Several days later, the siblings were back at the same spot looking for lunch, and they came across the empty shell of the chrysalis.
Whoa! This can't be that same creepy little creature that could only wiggle its tail that we saw last week, can it?
Perhaps that creepy little creature learned to do more than just wiggle its tail. I wonder what became of it.
Sister, quick, there seems to be a cloud covering the sun. I think it's going to rain. We should get our lunch and take cover.
Look, it's not a cloud at all, sibling. It's a butterfly.
Behold in me your much pitied friend. While you could only see me for what I could not do, your elder sibling was much more kind. By accepting me as I was, it encouraged me to grow in my efforts. As fellow creatures of this field, can we not all better ourselves by learning from this example?
Oh, yay!
Oh, little brother, sometimes it seems that you can never learn a lesson until it walks right up and hits you over the head.
Ha ha, very funny.
And the lesson is...
I guess I never thought it would be anything but that creepy little creature that could only wiggle its tail.
Well, the lesson we can take from this, that just hit you over the head, is that with encouragement and support, all creatures can learn to grow, even wise guy little brothers.
They will be returning tomorrow, and With the bowl of light in mind, I invite you now to sing This Little Light of Mine. If you're willing and able to share, please stand. You all, please be seated, and please remember when you leave SI, each one of you is a little lightning bug, and I want to see the astronauts look down upon this earth and see you all over, letting those lightning bug lights shine. I have two questions for you, and how many of you are from the Pittsburgh area? How many of you know about Mr. Rogers' neighborhood? All right. Well, my first question today, and the fellow who wrote this book called Last Child in the Woods, who this whole idea of No Child Left Inside, had a son named Matthew, and one day he took Matthew to Mr. Rogers' home because he had some other business to do, and he said to Matthew, "Matthew, would you like to ask Mr. Rogers your question?" So the question was about God and Mother Nature. said, "Mr. Rogers, are they married or just good friends?" And so Mr. Rogers, of course, in that beautiful cardigan sweater and that suave voice, he said, "That's a very interesting question, Matthew." And then Mr. Rogers thought about it for a long time. He said, "Your mom and dad are married, and they had two fine boys, and they're mighty important to those two boys. And I think that's the way we get to know what God and nature are like, by having a mom and a dad who loved us." Now, maybe that statement wasn't politically correct, but it worked for Matthew. And then Mr. Rogers said something so quietly that only Matthew could hear. He said, "Will you let me know, as time goes by, what answer you find to your question?" So our first question for the youth is, are God and Mother Nature married or just good friends? Now for the adults, and of course you got something a little harder to grind on, maybe it's a leading question. Does 4 years of college make graduates better planetary citizens, or does it make them, in Wendell Berry's words, itinerant professional vandals? I won't vote on that. Our closing words are by Fyodor Dostoevsky, who said, "Love all that is created by God, both the whole and every grain of sand. Love every leaf and every ray of light. Love the beasts and the birds. Love the plants. If you love every separate fragment, you will understand the mystery of the whole resting in God." Mahalo.
Olive, Dinah, Dayla, Rocky Trapper, Maya, Patches, Toast. Marmalade, Fred, Callie, Dexter, Stripey, Ashes, Cinder, Reese. Savannah, Cocoa, Butter, Maggie, B. Miss Kitty, Kira, Corgi, Bess, the fish that will never die. Lydia, Penta, Tony, Ming Ming, Spot. Ocho, Gabby, Merlin, Skits. Gracie, and another Skits. I was missing my dog this morning. So those are many of our pets from this community. If your pet was listed in there, tell someone about them today, because that's fun. And if it wasn't, tell someone about your pet. Or make up a pet or something. This was an announcement in the Kaleidoscope last night, a new game. Stand, Sit, Lay, designed by Makeda Duncan and Alex Mitchell as part of their work shift. This is sort of a whose line is it anyway type of game, filled with improvisational fun, creativity, and tons of laughter. And they will be playing today, Thursday, from 4 to 5 p.m. in the Icebox. This is the air-conditioned lobby of the Gund dorm, the Icebox, 4 to 5, if you want to do that. Akron Pictures will adjust the photo op to 12:35 today instead of 12, as previously announced, and included to include our youth, meet in Storer Hall under the Chihuly. Spread the word. Many of the congregational photos are posted on the information center over there, so we're not announcing every one of them. That was a change just handed to me. Is Arlo here? Arlo Petrus? Petrus? He could be outside. Well, it's his birthday, so wish a birthday. Mm-hmm. Announcement from the SI bookstore. All good things come to an end. The last time the bookstore will be open this week is Friday from 12:30 to 1:30 p.m. This is during the lunch hour block of time. So that's the last chance you have to browse in the bookstore and buy things. Vendors from the bookstore, you may see the folks organizing the bookstore anytime on Friday between 2 and 4 p.m. or 5:30 and 6:30 p.m. to pick up your items and take inventory and that sort of thing. Those are not shopping hours, though, so if you need to still visit the bookstore, do it today or tomorrow between 12:30 and 1:30 at the latest. A correction from an announcement I made last night. The group continuing the conversation about GA and bringing GA back to SI this year, who are going to talk a little bit about GA next year in Louisville, as well as Columbus hosting GA in 2016, will not meet at a mealtime today. They will meet tomorrow afternoon at 3:30, that's the late afternoon workshop time, in Brandy Recital Hall, the recital hall behind here. So that's when that group is going to meet again. Recordings of the theme talks, the worships, and the Vesper services from this week will again be available online. We will have links to all of those recordings that will be emailed out, for the most part, following SI, not by the time you get home, but pretty soon. So know that those recordings will be there, and you'll be able to go back and visit everything that we did here together this week. Mock Vespers. This is the last one, I'm told. I think I've heard that before, but this is the last one. Mock Vespers will be at 11:15 p.m. It says, join us for a somber and surprisingly hilarious time. 11:15 p.m. And I think probably that's gathering outside of Ross. Yep. Thank you. The last thing I have for you, this is not the time in the week when we want to talk about the end of the week, but we start talking about it now. So when we wrap on Saturday, we do have some limitations and time frames for when we need to be out of here. So two things to know. This has been the case in the past some years at SI. Those of us staying in, stop texting me while I'm here, whoever did that. Those of us staying in air-conditioned dorms, we need, if at all possible, it would be most helpful to you and to Kenyon if you could load out of your dorm by 9 a.m. You don't have to do this, but you do need to be packed up, and you need to have everything in your room on the bed. This is because they have to turn the dorms over pretty quickly for a group that is coming in on Saturday afternoon. So 9 a.m. if you're in an air-conditioned dorm. If you're an early riser and you want to get started, load your car then. At least get everything packed and up onto the bed in your bedroom. If you are staying in a non-air-conditioned dorm, you need to be packed up and out of the dorm and ready to head off by noon, 12 p.m. on Saturday. Our checkout is scheduled for 11 a.m. We will be handling key returns then. You'll have more information about the actual process on Saturday before then. If you are leaving before Saturday and you need to return your key, this holds true on Saturday and anytime before Saturday. Do not use the key drop boxes that are located in your dorms. Most of the dorms have a lobby area with a drop box that says leave your key here. Don't do that. We want it to come back to us. So especially if you are leaving before Saturday, give your key to and your lanyard, because those came to you with the key when you got here, unless you did have your own, to any planning committee member, any of us with the bags. Mine's sitting down there, but I think you know us. Give it to any planning committee member or someone from registration if you need to leave before Saturday morning. And that is all I have for you today. We'll have more information about Saturday and how it works. Thank you very much. Peak prizes. Bring them to dinner. Lunch. Okay, bring them to lunch. Thank you.
Thank you.